Hi, Dan.
Hi, Jason.
It's almost time.
What calendar would say it is time.
Yeah. Calendar decrees an event shall be held, and lo, it shall be held in Cupertino.
On the third Tuesday of the month of the ninth month. I can't do it. Nah, second Tuesday.
On the second Tuesday at the fated time of 10 a.m. Pacific time.
Timothonius Cook will step on stage.
That's right. And lo, a Spinal Tap reference may be made. Or not, you know, whatever.
Such is the prophecy.
Yeah, Kalendar has many, many creatures to control with its ways. It the silly season begins. The Apple releases everything and updates everything and does everything. The summer ends, and then that's the, you know, I really get into this Apple cycle thing, and this is like
back to school for us.
Yeah, I mean, last year it was like, okay, now work for 2 months straight without a break. It's like, oh, are we there yet? Apparently we are. So I'm not ready for it, but it's going to happen regardless, because thus spake Kalendar.
Thus spaketh.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Well, it's always interesting. Like, obviously, all these sites have been posting their, like, here's what you can expect on Tuesday. And I guess I still feel like there's a lot out there that seems pretty solid.
Yeah.
But there's also a lot of stuff missing. And a lot of the stuff that's missing is the details that are the kind of things that Apple can more easily keep, you know, close to its chest in terms of things like pricing or availability.
I'd like to forward promote my Tom's Guide piece that's running over the weekend, which is literally, that is the premise of it, is what is left for Apple to surprise us with. And you got it. You win, Dan. You win the prize.
Oh, thank you.
You Woo-hoo! Can write the you can write that column, but it's already written. Probably more than once, but it's marketing. They can do their storytelling, and if they've got a product that is, you know, far enough away, they can, you know, like the Apple Watch, like the iPad, like the iPhone. If there's a major product that's far enough away and they want to pre-announce it, they can probably get away with
that. That was my backdoor sneak in for my Macworld column this week. Was, you know, like, Apple does occasionally, we like to say, oh, Apple doesn't talk about things until it's ready to ship. But that's not actually true. For big things especially that are like new categories.
Yeah, they can't kill the sales of the old thing because there was no old thing.
Right, exactly. And sometimes you need a little time, right? You want to build a little buzz. You want to get people excited about a thing. And especially if it's a new category where you feel like you have to make that story compelling, because people are like, what is this new thing? Why do I want this? It's not a thing I've ever heard of before, right? Like, you need some time to show off exactly, like, here's how cool this is. Here's what it can do for you. Get pumped. And it comes out in 6 months. So it's the watch or even the original iPhone, right? Like, you know, that was announced well ahead of time to give lots, and it worked, right? Like, that worked great. There was a lot of buzz around the iPhone. the iPad, the Apple TV, all of those things it pre-announced. So one of these moments, there will inevitably eventually be a new product that they need to show off. Will it be this time around?
Yeah. I think the rumor of that tile, like, thing, the tracking tile, I like that rumor. I like that theory that's going to be like a bonus that they're going to announce, because that seems like it's something that they could ship. People have been talking about it for like a year, but it's just kind of like, it's not a major product, but it's been floating around out there. And
there's the creepy thing right here. It's the ghost of air power.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Shocking.
Just an easy product. Just a quick, easy product.
Yes.
Well done. There. Well done. You're on fire today.
Oh, no. Oh, burn. See?
Oh,
what?
Oh, it just keeps going.
Please don't cancel your subscriptions. the tile thing makes sense, so much sense to me, as something that people aren't buzzing about. But, like, that's a great product to sell during the holidays. It leverages Find My. The new Find My, which is already that technology in that app that's going to be used for things like laptops that get left behind that aren't on a cellular network aren't connected to Wi-Fi, but their Bluetooth beacon can be spotted and they can be triangulated and stuff like that. Like, that technology has already been built in iOS 13 in Catalina. And so of course this is the perfect time to do something and say, we also have these little tiles that you can attach to things, and you can use the same app that you use to find your phone, to find your, I don't know, dog.
But will it be an Apple's, you know, it will be an Apple product where it's like, all right, and you can buy one, but it's like $70 for one. I don't know. Will that be how they sell it?
I don't know.
I'm interested because tiles are, you know, Tile is pretty it's a certain degree of popular, and it's fairly affordable. They go on sale fairly often, and you can buy them in packs, you know, multiple packs or whatever. And I mean, by all accounts, the technology behind this will be superior to what Tile has, but you know, it remains for Apple to show off whether, like, how it's going to compete from a business perspective, etc. I'm intrigued. I guess I don't leave the house enough that I feel like I need one of these things, but I am intrigued enough that I would give it a try.
Yeah.
And my wife, who loses or forgets things constantly, I am working on this whole, like, trying to convince her, like, oh, I offered to buy her tiles a couple times, and she got a little offended by it, even though I'm like, you do misplace things a lot, and it would help. So we'll see if I can sell her on one of these.
Yeah, maybe. But I think that's out there. The AR glasses thing is floating around as a possibility, and I do think
that was my pitch.
I do think it is a possibility, right? Because there is Steve Trenton Smith and Guillermo Rambo, and you know, like, you poke around a little bit, like, there's a bunch of stuff in there that is suggestive that there's something coming. And there's a report that somebody pointed to that said that they're already working on version 2, which implies that version 1 is done. I'm not entirely convinced that version 1 is, you know, it's not like Apple to release a product that they don't pitch as a consumer product, but it does feel like this is the kind of thing where they might be better off releasing a developer system so that developers can actually use this. Now, there are also some rumors that what they're going to do is they're going to do a cardboard kind of thing that is the test of this. And
like
then
dev kit style.
Yeah. But it is, you know, if they do AR glasses, that is a great example of a product that they can pre-announce.
Absolutely.
And
it needs that lead up time, I think, here, especially when you're combating, like, the most visible previous products in this lineup are things like HoloLens and Google Glass.
Right.
Both of which have a lot of baggage that come with them.
Right.
So if you want to dispel that, you need to spend some time spinning it.
Yeah, and it allows them to say, this is a great new thing that's coming, and we want developers, and we've been setting up all this AR stuff, but we're not going to ship this until the spring or whatever. And actually, for any new product like that, I think that there's also the wisdom of launching that early in the year so that it doesn't get confused as a stocking stuffer, holiday gift kind of thing, and it gives them a long runway for them to figure out and for the market to figure out kind of what that product is before it gets back around to the holiday season, and it can either be, you know, clearly not a product for that season or clearly a product for that season.
Yeah, I've been very confident for a while that these things are certainly coming and probably not in the super distant future, if only because all the time Apple has spent showing off AR stuff, right? Like, they have demoed a lot of AR, so much AR, but it's not something that gets used that much.
No.
It really, the amount of time they have spent talking about it is way disproportionate to the amount of stuff that you actually can really use it for now.
And the implication there is that this is because there is something more coming.
Right. It's groundwork that they're laying.
Right.
And it, to me, the glasses thing has always seemed like a no-brainer, just because the way that the demos where they show people holding up their iPads and their iPhones just seem ridiculous. Nobody wants to stand there and hold their iPad pointed at a table for 30 minutes while they play a game. It's tiring, it's awkward, and it's not particularly immersive, right? Like, I've always used this comparison is like, it's like looking through a window, right? Like, that's the whole point of this is I can interact with the world around me that has been augmented. Why would you want to peer in through a little viewport and do that? It seems ridiculous. It just seems totally counterintuitive to what you're pitching. So I got to think that they've been working on something that actually takes that out of that little tiny viewport and immerses you in the world.
Yeah. I mean, I'm curious about it. If it's real, then if it's real, that puts a stamp on it from Apple that this is something that that is of an acceptable level of quality for Apple and for Apple's customers. And I think that's fascinating because I've yet to see anything in this area that goes across that bar. Right. Like I used Google Glass once. Right. And it was like it was awful. I mean, it was amazing technology, but like it was not of a quality on any level. The quality of the image that is displayed, the quality of the hardware. And that was just a little tiny like text overlay. Like I just and HoloLens, you know, they demo it, but it's not a consumer product.
Yeah. I mean, so, and I had a friend who worked on that for a while and it's cool technology. They have done some impressive work there, but it is not a product that was designed for end users, really.
Right. So that's the, to me, that's the thing. It's like Apple is not going to do this. Apple can't be like Google or Microsoft and kind of say, well, it's really just for specific applications in enterprise, right? Like that's not Apple. Right. If Apple does this, Apple's going to say regular people want to have augmented reality.
Sure.
And they might say, well, it'll start in education and science and all that. They may be able to backtrack a little bit, but it's Apple. There's only so far back they can back up the truck for this because Apple is a product, a consumer product maker. Like they if they do AR glasses or goggles or whatever, it's I have a hard time seeing them position this as being like, well, it's really for very limited high-end applications. Not why they wouldn't do it if they didn't think that it had mass appeal.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. What would that be? And again, this comes back to
if this product really exists, I have no doubt that they're working on it, but like if there's a product that they actually think that they're going to ship, I'm fascinated by that because I am, I guess what I'm saying is I'm not really an augmented reality believer for the masses. I still am very skeptical that there can be a product that a large number of people would want that will do this. And if Apple can do that, then good job, right?
Like, here's my pitch on Killer App. And I think what's interesting is you can look at it and kind of see where it's one of those things where Apple does something in plain sight that you're like, all right, that's fine. And then you don't really put it together until later. But I think all their mapping work that they've done in the last year and a half could be other groundwork being laid for augmented reality glasses for things as simple as map overlays and directions without having to look at your phone, for points of interest around you as you're walking. Like I felt like when I was traveling a bunch, I thought it would be cool to have like that kind of augmented display where you could like look at something and it could be like, yeah, that's this castle. You know, here's the information about this castle or whatever.
Right.
And they spent a lot of time building out their map database in the last 2 years and making all the stuff that comes in iOS 13, all the detailed.
There's an AR mode in maps now in 13,
like
right?
It's a street view-y mode, yeah. Like, and so a part of that makes me wonder, like, well, what other information have they been collecting while they've done this, and how could that be leveraged? And I feel like that's something where it's like, look, everybody needs to go places. Everybody needs directions to places. We, as a society, really heavily depend on GPS and Google Maps and Apple Maps and all that stuff now. So to me, that's kind of like one thing that you could do and lay it down and be like, hey, this is easily understandable. This is the thing everybody needs to do. And this is just one of the features that we're offering in this product. More so I think than like, you know, yeah, all right, games, some people get into that. I don't think that applies broadly enough, at least not with the games Apple's been working on, but maybe that could be a leg of it as well.
Yeah, I think it has to be. They have done so many AR game demos and so many AR education things that I feel like those are right out there as being things that they're going to have to talk about is games and education.
Yeah. So there's like a half dozen things I think they'll probably have like here are the like what we see this for initially, and you know, then we have an SDK for people to, you know, make their own apps and figure out other things that could be cool. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, should we ask James Thompson, like, have they asked him to like make a banana glasses game yet?
I think they count on James to just embrace all new technologies,
yeah, which he does with aplomb. But yeah, I think that to me is one of the things I think will be part of it, if such a thing exists. And you know, this none of this may come to fruition anytime soon, but it is a where there's smoke there's fire kind of situation where like there's just a lot of little things and it may not be ready but it feels like something that is coming down the pipeline even more than, I don't know, all the car stuff is so far out and has always seemed so ambitious, and so hard to picture what that might look like. And then, of course, all the stories of the behind the scenes stuff of the project and the management and all that have made that much more tenuous, I feel like. So I'm certainly not holding my breath on that account. But yeah, the AR thing feels like it's an idea they've been pushing for a long time. And I would be shocked if there was not another shoe to drop there.
Yeah, the question is when. And now may not be the best time for it, but then again, this is when they did the Apple Watch, right? Was in this time frame. So maybe. I don't know.
I don't know either. I feel like there's so much has been spilled on the phone, and the fact that there's been a lot of talk about phone updates becoming more incremental. I think, you know, it's kind of expected. You know, we talked about the iPhone having their down quarters in the last year or so. And I think just there's a lot of maturity in that market, right? Like, you know, we're over a decade in now, and people don't run to the new phones as much as they did 5 or 6 years ago. And Apple could still change that. There's always a few years where it's like, well, we made this new form factor. We make phones with this form factor for a few years, and then we move on to something else. And there's always a little bit of a peak or a bump when they introduce a phone with a new form factor because people get excited about that. But in the intervening years, you know, most people are holding on to their phones for a couple of years. And so as things get more and more capable and like your older phones last longer and all of that, I do feel like they might be looking at like, well, what other opportunities are there for us?
For sure. For sure. I don't know. I don't know. Weird, wacky stuff.
Yeah. Well, all our questions will be answered in a few short days.
I except for all the ones that aren't.
Well, yeah, we'll just have new questions.
Yeah, that's true. And then some, I mean, that's one of the things that doesn't get talked about as much about Apple media events is there are always the list of things that you think are going to happen that don't, and you get so swept up in what did happen that sometimes you pause and you're like, oh yeah, that didn't happen, did it? Especially WWDC, that happens a lot. But even at the iPhone event, like, you're like, oh, that was a thing that we thought might happen that didn't happen. But that's we're gonna get, you know, a bunch of new stuff because they don't hold these events just to like ask how everyone's doing. I feel like the other big things that I want to see out of this or Apple Arcade details and Apple TV Plus details. And I feel like since those are two major things that they're launching this fall, that this would be the perfect time for them to talk about them. And that if they do another event this fall, it will be a more professional focused event on the iPad and the Mac. And so this is the perfect time if they're going to, you know, give more details about the launch of Apple TV Plus and especially about Apple Arcade.
Right. Yeah. We've been waiting on a lot of information from that since they announced it in March, and it's been fairly thin. So yeah. I'm looking forward to hearing about that. And as we talked about a little bit about last week too, you know, the sort of what's your pricing proposition? How are you selling this? How are you going to convince people that they want to pay for it?
So on the Connected podcast this week, they did their competition. It's spreading all around of what's going to happen, and they have their risky, or as they like to call them, the Ricky picks. These are supposed to be things I was brought in as an adjudicator, things that are a real reach that they want to choose as that might happen. And I thought Stephen Hackett's was really good because Stephen Hackett's Ricky pick is no bundles. And I thought, I texted him after I listened to that, and I said, I think you're right. I think that all logic says that Apple should have bundles. Everybody does bundles. Bundles are a common industry technique with services, and this is the leap that you got to know Apple. That's why Apple won't offer them, right?
Yep. Yeah. No, there is a compelling argument there, and it's terrifying because it's like, it's not, yeah.
Each of our services has a wonderful price attached to it. Choose the ones you want. It's very simple. We don't offer these confusing bundles where you can save money. Sounds very Apple to me.
It does. I agree.
I mean, I want, and this is where I have this hard time. It's like, I want to believe that there are bundles. I've got my poster back here. It's got a Mac Mini on it instead of a UFO. I want to believe there are bundles, that there's going to be some sort of Apple bundle. But have we ever seen any evidence that Apple wants to play that game? Like, this would be, I think the other thing is, if they do bundles, it will be a story, because it will be Apple marketing their services that are so important to them in a way that is not really something they've ever done before.
Right. Yeah. Discount is not a game that Apple plays, right? And you need to look no further than their Black Friday discounts. And I put that in air quotes that you can't see. That's not an image that they care to put forward. You know, they are a premium product and a premium company, and they've always made no bones about that. And I agree with you 100% that I can easily see them just being like, yep, here are our services. Here's our little menu of prices, and, you know, buy what you want. Don't buy what you don't want. Oh, you want all of them? Well, you'll buy all of them then, I guess.
Yeah, simple. Like, I mean, yeah. I think that would actually be their argument would be, it gets confusing when you've got all these different deals. We just make it simple. Each product has a price.
Right.
And and the problem with that is, I'm not sure there's a reasonable price for Apple TV Plus. Unless it's... I mean, unless they... let me say, okay, maybe there is, but it's not a price that I think Apple will want to charge, because I think the way it's shaking out and the way the market's shaking out, if they want to price Apple TV Plus on its own, it's got to be like $4.99.
I was going to say $5 or less, I feel like, just based on what we have seen, will be available right now. If they have another shoe to drop there too, and are like, oh, and we have a selection of content from other partners we've worked with, then all right, maybe you can work it up a few dollars. But if it's 10, again, we just talked about this last week, if it's $10 for your half dozen shows that are already at launch, that seems suicidal to me.
Yeah. So, you know, Tuesday, well, maybe we'll find out. Or, and here's another thing that I think would have been a great Ricky pick, is Apple TV Plus not mentioned. Like, literally, like, no, we'll announce when it launches, but we're not going to talk about it today. Oh, I don't think they can do that. There's too many.
No.
And I've said this, I keep saying this, and I just want to repeat this little part of it. As somebody who has been behind the scenes technically on these kinds of events, I can just say, demand for information about the iPhone event is the highest point of the year for tech. It is the number one event, the iPhone event. You may think, as an Apple person, like, well, all of them are created equal. They're not. Mm-hmm. The international press corps comes in for the iPhone event like none other. They fill the composition of the people in the Steve Jobs Theater, radically different from any other Apple event the whole year.
It's the same WWDC.
because it's everybody from every corner of the world, they get international press in, because the iPhone matters to everybody. And then if you're Apple, you got to give them what they want, but you've got that international audience to send other messages. And Apple TV Plus is going to be an international launch. I mean, it is. They're signing up. They want this stuff worldwide.
Sure. They know they have the market for it.
So... it may be not, you know, day one, but they want to send this message, and they want to send it everywhere. So I think it would be really bad if they didn't use some space on stage, some time to do that. And Apple Arcade, I feel like, is a no-brainer, because they always like to have kind of a games message about that, because it shows it's going into the holidays. It shows their prowess in terms of the whatever, you know, new powers of the next A series processor that the new phones are going to have. Like, they're going to do that. And this year, why would they not use that game space to sell Apple Arcade? So, you know, that's a no brainer too. So we should get details about this stuff then, but it will be fascinating, because, you know, a lot of our speculation is really like a will they or won't they? And they still haven't shown their cards.
Yeah. Right. And they can do that up until the event, but like, if they don't at the event, it starts to feel a little bit like, what are you hiding? What aren't you talking about here? Like, why are you making us wait for this information? Like, I feel like if you're Beyonce, you can drop a surprise album and everyone will go buy it. But I'm not sure that's going to extend to Apple just deciding on some random November day to drop its streaming service.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be something?
That would be hilarious. But yeah, I also think it's like burying news on a Friday, right? It's like, it's not a thing that you do when you're really proud of what you've built.
So if I had to make a prediction, this is not a Ricky, but I'm going to make a prediction here just for fun. And last time it seems to me that I made a prediction here not too long ago that was totally right, which is cool. So this is stay with Six Colors is what I'm saying. Here's my prediction. I think the Apple TV Plus thing will actually happen faster than people think. I think they're going to put a date. It may not be like it's available today on the 10th, but they'll put a date up. And it will be clear that it'll be like, it's available on that date. And like Apple Music back when it premiered, everybody who signs up gets it free for a month. And then you'll pay whatever the mystery price is. And they will have a bunch of premieres on that day. So they're going to say, and if I had to pick one, I would say, on September 20th, Apple TV Plus will premiere. And it will have all of these shows on it, the first episode or the first three episodes or whatever, and then they'll be releasing weekly starting in October, and you get a free month or 6 weeks, and here's the price. And it'll be like an Apple Music kind of rollout, and they'll pick a date. I realize this is not, like I said, not a risky pick, but like I think that's how they're going to do it, and I think they'll do it on stage, and I think the date will be sooner than you think.
I agree with you that they'll do it on stage because this is such a good venue, right? If you, you just said, literally all the press is there. Everybody is paying attention to this. If you want attention to an announcement, this is where you make it. And I can't see why they would hold it back on that to only drop it by what, press release later in the fall? That makes zero sense. Why would you do that? And I agree with you. I think it will be sooner rather than later. I don't think that people threw on that November date, but I really don't think they want to necessarily be up against Disney Plus like launching in the same 2 week window. I just think it's like launching your tentpole movie along, against some big competitor. I just think you want to space it out a little bit. You want to give yourself some room to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
So I think your prediction is solid, Jason. I endorse your prediction.
I mean, and maybe they say September 27th or October 4th or something. They may pick a date that's slightly further out, but I would think they want to get it done quick because they're going to want to make the impression and then have it be available. You don't want to say, hey, hype, here it is. Now wait 6 weeks.
Right. Yeah.
It's like strike while the iron is hot. Get it now. And I think it's not entirely. I mean, it's possible that they'll be like now, today. First episodes are up. You can sign up. You get 6 weeks free today. But maybe it's a week off or 2 weeks or 3 weeks. But it's got to be strike while the iron is at least somewhat hot after you've hyped everybody up about it. I think.
Yeah. I agree. I think you're right.
Yeah.
You heard it here first.
All right. Glad we solved that.
We solved that problem.
Anything else we should do? I was posting a bunch of stuff this week on Six Colors. I didn't do any. I'm in the intervening weird state where I'm kind of trying to nest and protect myself for next week where things are going to get out of hand really quick. And I am waiting. I don't want to do more about my book that I'm updating about photos because the betas keep on rolling and I kind of just don't want to commit to details of some of this stuff because I think the details are going to change. We're not going to put that book out until later this fall. It's not going to drop day and date. And so I don't need to worry about it. And so as a result, I was like, oh, okay, good. I can take some of the summer stuff off and actually write things on Six Colors again, which was nice.
Yeah, I don't know. There's always a lot of stuff spinning around the week before an Apple event, but so much of it is speculation that I feel like any real news tends to get fairly lost. The one thing I don't think we actually posted about this, but the Apple Music on the web, they launched a beta of that yesterday, kind of out of nowhere, which was interesting. I tried to use it and it was broken. So I was leaving the house. I was like, oh, I see this thing. Let me just try to log on really quick before I go. And I logged in and I got as far as doing my two-factor code and then be like, nah, there's a network problem. Try again. I was like, I did it twice. Never mind. I'll deal with it later.
Yeah, I want to say that this is Apple's going to do this with every service that it can, because why wouldn't you? And it means that you can have it on computers that are not your computer, but you use like a work computer or something like that, where you don't have access to your other stuff. It works on Windows. I imagine it works on Chromebooks. Like, if you've got other products, it means they don't have to build client apps everywhere else, which is only logical. And I would assume that this will be the case for the Apple TV Plus service too.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, if they're going to
roll Apple, maybe even like Apple TV, right? Where you could actually go in and watch like your like rentals and your stuff.
Sure. I mean, again, if they're making that, I don't remember what they're calling it. Are they calling it a TV Plus app and putting it on smart TVs and other platforms? If you're doing that, you might as well have it on the web.
Well, there's the Apple TV app that's on at least the Samsung TVs that it's going to be. And they're going to be AirPlay support elsewhere. And yeah, I mean, I think it's logical for them to do
it. At that point, you need to stop caring. If your goal is let's build as much revenue as possible from services, you need to stop caring about people only watching it on your platform. And traditionally, Apple has been a company that built services to drive its hardware sales, but it can't do that. I don't think it can afford to do that if it really wants to grow its services revenue, obviously, right? Like, it needs to decouple that and say, like, this is a service that you can get on any of the devices you may already own. It will be best if you buy it on our devices, of course, but it will work on all these other devices.
Yeah. Of
Which
course.
Is weird. I think they have trouble. I think psychologically that is like a thing where Apple has had a hard time making a shift, because it's very unlike the way they used to operate. But, you know, they'll get there.
Yeah. Yeah. They are growing up in terms of service stuff. And that's okay. That's okay. I don't think Apple is in any great danger of becoming IBM. Where you look back and 15, 20 years have passed and you're like, oh, IBM's just a services company now. They're just a consultant. They're not anything. They're, you know, they don't do any of those things that we remember them doing. Sure. I don't think Apple is headed down that path, but Apple is transforming into a company that can also think like a service provider. Remember iTools. I'm not saying that Apple.
I've been a subscriber since iTools. I still have my iTools email address.
Oh, man. I'm not saying that Apple is not without its issues when it comes to this stuff, but it has come a long way. You got to admit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They shifted it into another gear and stopped changing the name of their service, which I think suggests a lot that they finally think that it's decent.
They didn't have to reinvent it every 3 or 4 years.
iCloud. They could call it the Apple Cloud, I guess, but iCloud. iCloud also, I think the last Steve Jobs product announcement?
Was it? Oh, man.
I think.
So 2011?
11? 12?
Yeah. No, he was dead by then. He was 2011.
11? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then he probably didn't announce it in 2012. no, I think iCloud was his last product announcement.
He lives on in the iCloud.
Yeah. Yeah, somebody ought to write a book about that.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I'll get right on that.
Okay, good. People who consult this podcast episode 5 years from now will be like, oh, yes, well, that was a clue about something that Dan is working on.
Hopefully less than 5 years.
I'm just, well, you know.
Fingers crossed.
That would be nice. Anything else? I feel like we got to rest up. We got a big week next week.
Yeah, I got to hydrate. Carbo load.
Yeah, do some stretching
stuff.
Stretching,
yep. Limber up.
Yeah, I got my new desk, but I don't have my keyboard tray yet. So I'm hoping that I can take care of that before Tuesday. So I have a keyboard tray to type all the things next week.
I will be sitting carefully on my couch.
Oh, good.
On the edge of the couch. Watching the event next week. You know, a part of me is like, yeah, I'd be happy to travel out there and go to the event, but then I think about, well, it's really nice to just be able to lie on your couch and watch an Apple.
Yep. Well, you know, when I go to these things, I have to get up really early and drive a long way. And then there's like, then you're there too early, but you can't be there late. So you have to be there early. And then you wait around and then it's over. And then maybe there's a little bit of a hands-on area, which is nice. So you take that time, but then the clock is still ticking in your head saying, I got to go write stuff. I've got to go do a podcast. We got to do this. And then it's, you know, And it's after lunchtime now, so maybe you grab some food, maybe you don't have time to, and then it's a whole long drive back home, and then it's all of that, and it's like it's a lot to be present at the thing where the people who are watching it on the stream have a better view. Right. The benefit is you do get to see people and you do get to have your hands on the products right afterward. Those are the big benefits of it.
You know, you get to ask questions and stuff, which is harder for those of us at home. But it's trade-offs. It's always trade-offs.
You can ask, but they won't answer on the stream.
I just wonder aloud. Hey,
why
Siri?
Did you do that? They don't know.
I ask Siri things and Siri declines to respond.
Yeah, that's pretty much like Apple PR. Oh, hey.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, anyway. All right, thanks to all of you subscribers. We appreciate your support, and next week will be a big week, and we'll be back here next week because Kalendar demands it, right?
You know, Kalendar! He
demands it. But until then, bye, Dan.
Bye, Jason.